Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's got to be reality and not illusion or delusion that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Buck Keeley with a garden, a seed, .com, and well, I'll get the exact title from Buck. What is the website?
Seedcatalog.com.
Seedcatalog.com, and certainly we're going to be talking about gardening. And a lot of people say, well, why worry about gardening? Well, ladies and gentlemen, I believe that America is going to change. It's going to change dramatically. The America that we've known in the past, I don't believe is going to exist. For one thing, you cannot depend upon the prepackaged food that you buy. Do you realize that aspartame was developed as a biological warfare agent? It's contained in 6,000 products sold as food or cosmetics or in drugs today. It's in your vaccines. It's in almost everything that you can get. And of course, this was developed as a biological warfare agent. If you want food you can trust and you know it's not going to be contaminated with all sorts of insecticides and pesticides, why you're going to have to think about growing these things yourself or know somebody who can grow them for you. And I believe, of course, we're going to move into a much more austere type of lifestyle. I believe that there's a plan, an organized plan to lower living standards in the United States and raise living standards throughout the world, and that's exactly what we're doing. We're raising the living standards in India, even for the outcasts over there, and lowering the living standards here, step by step by step. And the income that people are getting here in the United States today is less than it was we were getting 4 or 5 years ago. But the average American doesn't understand that. He may be getting the same amount of salary, but they've destroyed the purchasing power of our currency. So you need to start thinking about how you're going to be able to look after your family. And one of the things that's fun and certainly is also well worthwhile doing is learning how to grow vegetables. And that's exactly what we're learning from Buck, and we've learned a lot from him. Buck, certainly, we've been talking in past programs about the preparation of soil. Soil's prepared, composted, fertilized, ready to go. So what should we be doing at this time?
Well, the growing season is upon us. It'll be moving from the southern zones to the northern zones over the next couple of months. And the interest in gardening has been growing exponentially. It's amazing how many people are recognizing that if they're going to have control over their lives, the first thing they have control over is their food supply. That I'm involved with a group of folks here in Southern Oregon that is involved in a Master Gardeners program. And we're having some conversations today. And one of the conversations that came up was the cost of gardening compared to buying the vegetables. And the truth of it is that is getting more and more cost efficient to garden now because of the price of fuel. We have no idea what fuel is going to be at the middle of the summer. But right now, from the beginning of the farming to the end of the product at the table, there's the photocarbons, the oil products involved, and it's going up daily. And I think that a wise and prudent person right now would make preparations to have their fresh produce as close to home as they can, and their backyard is even better. So that you're beginning the gardening now, that I would start out with some of the simple things that's easy to do. One of the easy things to do is fresh things like radishes and lettuces. And
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment. So this is the time to put in our radishes and certainly and our lettuces.
Yes, but this, most of your cool weather plants in most zones can go in now.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's PROPAX.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
They have their tomato plants and chilies in the greenhouse now down here. Why we can actually get these at the local stores. Of course, you're a lot better off actually growing them from seed than you are getting in the stores, because you know what you're getting. A good time for potatoes. Buck is saying that they're having difficulty. Now, he actually grows a lot of his seeds himself, but other seeds they don't grow. They ordinarily purchase on the market from people who actually have heirloom seeds. But there's a shortage out there. More and more people are getting seeds. Sometimes there have been crop failures. So Buck and I had actually talked to his wife, and she had told me that they were having difficulty getting seeds. And I said, well, you'll be sure to have Buck mention that when he's on the program. What about potatoes? I mean, should we get a potato, look for eyes on it? How do you grow potatoes? Do you buy those little pieces of potato with eyes on them at the store? How do you go about growing potatoes? I've never even done that yet.
Well, potatoes is an interesting study on growth, that most people grow the potatoes by cloning. It's not hybriding, and it's not GMO, that's cloning. And it's by taking a propagation cut from the plant that potatoes will actually put on potato seed. But the seed they put on, depending on the pollinization, is they have a variety of different potatoes that it'll produce. So what has happened through the years is that there have been certain tubulars that's been grown, such as a russet potato or the Yukon gold potato or the baby red potatoes or the fingerling potatoes or the purple potatoes, that has been pollinated and produced a potato that somebody liked. And so they took that potato and they cloned it, they propagated it. And what you do is you take a seed potato and you break that seed potato into eyes. If it's a 2-inch or less potato, you can throw it in the ground whole, but if it's larger than that, cut it into quarters. And if you buy seed potato from the local market or from the Grange or wherever you buy them, you're going to pay somewhere between $5 and $7 a pound for seed potatoes. But the only difference between a seed potato and a potato is a seed potato lets the eyes grow. Now, if you go down to your local big box store and buy a bag of potatoes, they've been chemically treated to retard the growth of the eyes of that potato. So if you try to plant potatoes from, you know, Safeway or Walmart or any place you buy your produce, you're going to find that it will not produce much or at all. But if you'll go down to your local organic store that sells potatoes that has not been treated, you take the potatoes, you can buy them for about $1.50 a pound, depending on the variety, put them in a paper sack with a paper towel that's damp underneath your sink in a dark, cool place that's damp. They'll put on eyes in about 2 weeks. I've got my seed potatoes ready to go in now, and that's exactly how I did it. I bought potatoes at the organic store. I put them under our kitchen sink, and I've got around 20 pounds of seed potatoes I'll be planting this week. And it saves you about 50% or more of what you'll pay for seed potatoes. But basically, putting in potatoes is propagation. You're going to take a potato that you've allowed eyes to begin to form on, and the eyes are actually little roots. And you cut those into pieces and you put them into hills. If you'll mound up your soil about a foot high and put 2 or 3 of the propagation cuts off your potato in there, wet it down good, that mound of potatoes will produce somewhere between 3 and 7 pounds of potatoes off of 2 or 3 cuttings off of your potato. And that's the easiest way and the best way to plant potatoes.
Well, now, Chris, our garden is primarily in boxes, so how many potato plants could you put in one of these boxes? They're about 3 foot long, a foot and a half wide.
Yeah, if you're a container gardener, rather than put them in my raised bed, I'd get a 5-gallon bucket and knock 2 or 3 holes in the bottom for drainage and take and put about 2 or 3 inches of soil on the bottom of that 5-gallon bucket and then put in 4 cuttings of your potatoes. So that would be 2 medium potatoes cut in 4 pieces, and put them in the bottom of the bucket and cover them up with soil and water them and fertilize them. And as they begin to grow, they grow very rapidly. And most of us remember from grade school taking the potato and putting it in the water and watching it root and grow and make a huge plant very rapidly. Potatoes grow very rapidly. And as they begin to grow upwards towards the sunlight, fill them in with soil. Every nodule on that plant will produce potatoes. And so if you fill those up with soil as they grow until it reaches the top of the 5-gallon bucket, a couple inches at a time as they grow, that bucket will produce somewhere between 10 and 15 pounds of potatoes. And when you get ready to harvest them, all you have to do is turn them over and dump them out. And there you've got a bag of potatoes that you pick out of that soil. And it's the best way, if you're container gardening, potatoes to grow them. If you've got a little space, you can set up yourself something like pallets, or if you have fence, hog fence or something like that, and do the same thing, only you put more potatoes in it. In a 4x4 area, you can grow 100 pounds of potatoes very easily by following that method where you put up 4 pallets, you put in your seed potatoes on the bottom about a foot apart, you cover them up with soil, and as they grow, you fill them up with soil to the top of those pallets. And you can grow in a 4x4 area 100 plus pounds of potatoes off of a cuttings of maybe a pound and a half of seed potatoes. So the potatoes are very vigorous. They're one of the easiest things to grow. They do not need great soil, that they grow in very poor soil, and they're a wonderful gain in your backyard.
Well, now, basically, then, you say to get a 5-gallon plastic bucket, and then you knock a hole in the bottom of it. You put, what, some rock in the bottom of it?
Yeah, they just take a hammer and a nail and knock some holes so the water will run out of it.
Okay.
And then if you wanted to put a little layer of gravel on the bottom of it to keep those holes from clogging, would be a good thing. Or take some newspaper and lay it in the bottom of it so it saturates. And then a couple inches of soil, and then take a seed potato and cut it 4 ways and put it in the bottom of it. Cover it up with a couple inches of soil, and as they grow, instead of letting them grow upwards without soil, as they break the ground an inch or two, put soil on them, and they'll grow out of that bucket in about 3 to 4 weeks. They'll be at the top of the bucket. And then you just Give them water and a little feed, and they'll produce about 10 to 15 pounds of potatoes in a 5-gallon bucket.
Well, you learn something all the time. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question for Buck, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you got a question for Buck, and of course, one of the things that, as far as the tomatoes was concerned, I was fascinated, you know, whenever I had little tomato plants I've gotten in the past, why I always just took them and, you know, put them in the ground. But you were talking about how what you ought to do is take the leaves off and plant them, you know, and just plant them a lot deeper so that the area which had the leaves on it, you put it down under the ground. What's that all about?
Well, when you transplant your tomatoes, that we've got 4,500 tomato and pepper plants in seed planting pots right now, and we'll do another 4,500 this next week. And so when those plants get up to about 4 to 5 inches tall, is an ideal time to transplant them. If they get much taller than that, then you have a plant that's going to be stressed when you transplant it. So typically, if you buy a tomato plant from your local nursery, or if you go to the big box store and get the hybrid plant, they're going to be a foot and a half tall. That's because the nursery growers have found that the public likes the big plant. I don't know why that they market them like that, but they found that the bigger the plant, the more the public likes it. So they actually start those plants earlier, and they let them grow to larger plants. And so you have this large plant with a small root system. And what happens when you transplant it, you're not going to be feeding those plants every day like they do at the nursery. Every time they water those plants at the nursery, they're giving them fertilizer to grow this big, luscious plant on the small root system. So you're faced with a dilemma when you bring it home. How do you keep this plant healthy? Well, if you'll pull off the bottom two or three sets of leaves, every place those leaves grow onto the stalk, they will produce roots. So what you do is you plant that plant, rather than shallow planting it, you dig a hole that's deep enough that you can plant it down after you pull off the first or second set of leaves, and then you backfill that soil around the tomato plant, and in just a few days there will be a new set of root systems growing off of where those leaves were at, and will provide it with the nutrients necessary to support the massive plant that's above that without having the daily care of being fertilized every day. So, but if you're going to buy your plants at a nursery, which I don't advise that, I advise your listeners to grow your own tomato and pepper plants. The sheer economics of it is this simple, that if you buy a pack of seed from Seed Catalog, you're going to get 25 tomato seeds for about $2, which means you're going to pay less than 10 cents a plant. If you go down to the nursery or to the big box store and buy a tomato plant, you're going to pay somewhere between $2.50 and $4.50 a plant. So the economics bears out to grow your own plants. Second is that you can assure that you're growing plants that are healthy, that you've controlled the environment they're in, they've not been fed chemicals that you're going to be eating later. And so when you grow those plants, instead of going down to the nursery or the big box store and getting a plant that's a foot and a half high, you put a plant in the ground that's about 8 to 10 inches high maximum, but it's got this great root system that's been established because you've been feeding it regular. But you got this low, short plant that when you put it in the ground, it takes off like a rocket. So the ideal height for a tomato plant is to be about 6 to 8 inches tall. And then once you transplant it, it has a greater success at rate of growth and producing good fruit. But I would encourage your listeners not to go down and buy their plants, but to grow them for the sheer economics of it, and then for the pleasure of it, and then for the food economy of it, knowing that you're getting a good, solid food substance that you control from the seed to your table.
And the other thing, Buck's point is, you don't know what sort of fertilizer they put on when you buy it from the nursery. You know, of course, you put it on yourself, that exactly what's gone into that plant, because that's what you're going to be eating. And there are a lot of things that they can utilize in professional nurseries that are not necessarily healthy for you. And if you're going to grow food, why you want to know what is in that food, remember, we are what we eat. Well, our telephone number, 1-800-1-888-24-LIBERTY. Well, you know, one of the things I've noticed, Buck, is that something you see these plants, the tomato plants down there, and they just all cover with blooms. And, of course, you know, my impression.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
They've been sprayed with pesticides. They've been sprayed with anti-fungus sort of things because in a nursery, they expect that if they do not spray them, they're going to lose a lot of them. And Sidney Buck says, you know, he figures he's going to lose 20% of his plants, but he will not spray them because it's not healthy for the plants and it's not healthy for you. So this is something to think about. He thinks you're a lot better if you grow from seeds. But if you're going to buy them, do not get the plant, the big, great big plant, great big tomato plant, because if you do, why, it's not going to have an adequate root system. You want to get a short, squat plant with green leaves, and certainly you want, you do not want a large one, and you certainly don't want a plant with the blooms on it. Because, of course, if you get one of the blooms on it, and then you transport it, plant it into your garden, why, the shock from that very often will get real problems. You do not want to get a tomato plant or other plants that already have the blooms on them. They may look good. You may think you're going to get the fruit, but those blooms will fall off, and that plant's going to be in real trouble. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295. If you have a question or comment for Buck, because I want to talk to a master gardener, and that's what Buck is. He's a master gardener, and he teaches gardening. Buck, I want you to get your telephone number, your website out for our listeners. Once again, if you'd like to call us here at the studio, 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But how can people get in touch with you?
You'll find us on the World Wide Web at www.seedcatalog.com. If you'll just go to your address bar of your web browser and type in Seed Catalog, S-E-E-D-C-A-T-A-L-O-G, seedcatalog.com, it'll take you to our website. You're going to find a lot of interesting articles on the importance of growing heirloom seeds, as well as the dangers of the genetically modified movement we're looking at. And then click on Shop for Seeds. That'll take you to our store. In our store, you'll find a variety of things that will advance your growing experience, including we put together things like value packs. We have prepackaged at about a 25% discount off a single pack cost. Things like a small city garden or a large garden pack, a tomato lover's pack, a pepper lover's pack, an herb lover's pack, that we prepare these packs together in volume so we can sell them to you for less. And then we also have the storage seed banks. I think one of the most important things everyone should have is their security for their future gardening. And in our seed banks, we have a basic seed bank, which is enough seed for vegetables and grain to plant over an acre, and a personal seed bank, which will plant about a half acre. And then we allow you to build your own survival seed bank. If you buy more than $50 worth of seed, we'll pack that for free inside of a seed bank. Now, what a seed bank is we take the individual packs of seed and we put them in a 4.0-millimeter vinyl Mylar bag, and we seal that Mylar bag, and then we put it in a tri-wall PVC pipe, and we seal that pipe. And the reason why we do that is the damaging factors to seed is either insects, moisture, or light. And so this will protect the seeds away from moisture. It'll protect it away from insects. It'll protect it from light. And that'll allow you to store these seeds for many, many, many years. That some of these seeds will store out as far as 70, 80 years and have a 50% germination rate. Others will store out as little as 10 years and have a 90% germination rate. But it'll allow you to store seeds for just in case if you can't get these. And once again, they're always heirloom seeds that what you plant is what you get. And what you harvest, the seed, is what you'll plant and receive again. And then we also have our seed sprouting kit. That seed sprouting is something that everybody should be doing. That's something we do year-round. And these kits, we use a hemp bag because it's resistant to mold and mildew. It's superior to jar sprouting or to container sprouting for two reasons. Number one is that it allows an easy rinse of your seeds. And number two, it's portable, so if you need to throw these things in a backpack and go out and go camping, you can grow seeds while you backpack. And so encourage everyone who is listening to sprout seeds. You're an instant gardener that way. And then we also have on the website individual packs of seeds that you can buy, that we'll buy. We'll sell you one seed, or we'll sell you a whole volume of seeds. We reach that toll-free 1-888-866-9132. 1-888-866-9132 or at seedcatalog.com.
And of course, Buck suggests that, you know, if you get one of these long-term storage units, you can actually just bury it in the ground. You want it to be cool, the ground will keep it cool, and of course, it's dry, the seeds will last a long time. Give us a call if you have a question.
While the storm clouds gather,
this is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Do you have a chronic disease that has devastated your life? If you do, you should contact the Invita Clinics. Their therapies can reduce the devastating side effects of chronic fatigue, heart disease, Lyme disease, fibromyalgia, and other persistent illnesses. Their experienced team is committed to setting a new standard in patient care. They're dedicated to bringing you the best of what's available in cutting-edge medical science. If I've stirred your interest, consider calling Invita at 866-830-4576. Or better yet, investigate their website at Invita.com. That's Envita.com. Or 866-830-4576. Invita at 866-830-4576. Invita.com. People are becoming more aware of the dangers of fluoride in their drinking water. We're offering you a proven way to remove more than 95% of this dangerous chemical, which threatens your good health. It's the Whole House Fluoride Removal System, available right now from Radio Liberty. This system will also remove aluminum, manganese, arsenic, lead, and most heavy metal. Your fear regarding these dangerous chemicals in the water you drink can be eased by getting more information from RadioLiberty.com. Go to RadioLiberty.com right now and find out all you need to know about protecting your home's precious water supply. Read the information about the Whole House Water Fluoride Removal System and order one. Free shipping is included in every purchase. You can also call 1-800-544-8927. Where's that information? RadioLiberty.com. That's 1-800-544-8927.
One of the things that I've noticed that you go down to the store where the nursery, and basically they will have all sorts of chemicals they tell you you're supposed to use with tomato plants. Now, are those chemicals good for everything? Are those, Cindy, or should we use specifically the fertilizers that you have for everything? Because you actually have put together a specific as a formula of fertilizer, and why don't you tell us about the fertilizer that you have, and what is it good for everything, or should we get some of this special material that they have for tomatoes?
Well, anybody that's in the business of growing plants will have a little joke that they'll tell about your miracle concoctions that you can buy at the store. And so that, you know, you want to be careful what you put on your plants, whether it's a tomato plant or whether it's a carrot. And everything takes a little different approach when you fertilize it. That we spent a lot of time in the past on your program talking about the difference between augmenting your soil, building your soil, and fertilizing your plants. Well, we're at the time of the year where we're fertilizing. And you have to remember that whatever that you put on your plants is going to wind up in the fruit they produce. And so you want to be very careful about what you put on your plants to feed them. That on our site, we sell basically two types of fertilizer. And one of them is is an organic fertilizer we put together, which is a basic nutrient, product for all your plants. And it's made out of natural products. It's, built out of about six different ingredients. One of those would be bone meal, which is necessary for all plants to prosper. We have seed meal in it. We have calcium in it. We have gypsum in it. We have trace elements in it. And what it's designed to do is to be a fertilizer for growing plants to supplement them. And we also sell worm poo, Uncle Buck's worm poo. And really what worm castings is hyper decomposed material. When you think about having a pile of organic material that you're compositing into material you're going to put in your garden, that compost pile is being reduced by microorganisms and by larger slashers and hackers. Well, one of the base elements that we use to get plants to be nourished is the smaller particulates. Worms, earthworms in particular, and red wigglers in particular to that, produce a very small casting. They're God's greatest composters. And so what we do for our plants, depending on which one it is, for an example, things like radishes and lettuces and greens, they're short-lived, and you don't need to fertilize them very much. When you plant them, side dress them with a little bit of Uncle Buck's fertilizer, and that's all you need to do. You don't need to fertilize those several times during the year that they have that initial growth area, and that's all you need. Tomatoes, you ought to fertilize tomatoes and peppers. When you transplant them, you ought to give them a good side dressing of fertilizer. And then as they begin to produce fruit two or three times during the season. And what we do at the worm castings is we make a tea out of it. We actually have an aerator that we aerate it with and things like that. You don't have to be that complicated. If you'll take two or three tablespoons of worm castings and a tablespoon of molasses and put it in a gallon jar and pour it back and forth between gallon jars or shake it up to where it aerates two or three times and let it set for 24 hours, and then put that on your plants, what you're going to have is a vitamin burst for your plant. And it will go immediately into the root system. The root system will take that nutrient into its system. It'll go through the capillary action of the plant. Photosynthesis will take place. And then from that, sugars are created. They go back down the roots. And suddenly, you've got this vibrant plant. And so when you fertilize your plants, what we do, in our greenhouse, every time we water, I feed my plants with worm castings and molasses, and it encourages good growth.
Well, no, but you add some fertilizer to that as well, or is that separate?
When we transplant them into the garden, when I come out of the greenhouse where we have this very careful care of them, and I put them into the garden when I transplant them, then I use the fertilizer that I put when I transplant them. What I'll do is once I get them in the ground, I'll put a handful of fertilizer, the Uncle Buck's fertilizer, around the tomato plant or the pepper plant. And it's more of a slow release that way. So every time you water, those nutrients go into the soil and they begin to break down and they go into the root system. If you overfeed your plants, and this is something that every one of your listeners needs to get a hold of, if you overfeed your plants, when they're in the garden, they will not develop sufficient root systems to grow. So what you want to do is that you want to use fertilizer in the garden. You want to use it on a sparingly basis. You don't want to overfeed them. You want to water good and heavy, but not often. If you overwater your plants or over-fertilize your plants, the roots will stay on the top of the ground because that's where it's getting all its nutrients. You want to make sure that those root systems build out deep. A tomato plant that's properly grown will have roots that are 2 or 3 foot deep because they're going down deep into the soil looking for nutrients and they're looking for water. But if you overwater those plants, if you overfeed those plants, that you'll get this wonderful green foliage. It'll be a beautiful plant, but you won't have any fruit. It can't support producing fruit. So make sure, particularly in your potato, on your tomato and your pepper plants, that you water them deep. You water them seldom. You feed them well, but you feed them seldom, because if you overwater, overfeed them, they will not develop sufficient root systems to support the long-term needs it needs to produce the fruit.
Well, when you say you don't water them very often, you mean you water them once a week, you ought to water them twice a week, what do you do?
Well, it depends on where you live and what kind of temperature you're having, what your humidity is and what your heat is. You can buy sophisticated equipment for $10 or $15 that you can stick in the soil and tell you what the water content of it is. The easy way to find out, you ought to be in your garden every day weeding and taking care of your plants. And when you get around your plants, take your trowel and dig down about 2 to 3 inches deep. If you're down 2 to 3 inches deep and your soil is powder dry, you need water. But if you go down to 2 to 3 inches deep and your soil is moist, it doesn't need water. It's sufficient in those areas for those roots to go to. So what I do to determine the water needs for my plant, and it'll vary from place to place in your garden depending on how much sun it gets and what the absorption rate of the soil in your garden is, because it'll vary from place to place, is that when I'm out there working and weeding and when I'm harvesting the fruit, I just take my trowel and I stick it down. And if I find there's an area of my garden that's dry, if I go down 2 or 3 inches and there's not moisture in the soil, I water that area specifically. One of the most detrimental things you can do is just universally water your garden, because different plants require different amount of water at different times. And so you just want to make sure that at 2 to 3 inches deep, you have plenty of moisture, that it's damp, it's not dry. And then if it's dry, you add water. You don't just wet the top of the soil, you saturate it. One of the wonderful things about flat gardening is the water goes away. You can't overwater by saturating it, but you can overwater by doing it too often. In container growing, like you're doing, Dr. Stan, what you want to do is dig down into your raised bed 2 to 3 inches deep, and if there's moisture there, don't worry about it. If you dig down there and there's moisture, then you want to directly water that bed until when you get down to 2 to 3 inches that it's not just damp, it's wet. And what will happen is that water will move through then the lower 4 or 5 inches of your soil, and it'll collect on the bottom. It'll draw those roots downward so that they can grow healthy root systems. That most gardeners make this primal mistake. They overwater their garden. Not only will it not develop good root systems, it's an encouragement for pathogens. It's encouragement for disease. That one of the most common reasons why you have disease in your garden is overwatering. And so you want to make sure that you don't overwater. You want to water sufficiently. You want to water deeply. But you don't want to water every day. If you water every day, your roots will stay to the top of the ground. It won't support the systems of the plant, and you're going to have a diseased plant when you're done.
All right. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And somebody had called in and said, what are some of the things that you need to start the seeds in? Thinking about containers, if you're going to start these things, in some sort of containers before you put them in the garden, what sort of containers would you use?
Well, you know, you could spend a lot of money down at your garden center buying specialty items. But really, it's as simple as a Dixie cup, an egg carton, a plastic cup. They even make devices that makes these newspaper containers, which are pretty cool for home gardeners. But for your folks at home, the only recommendation I have is make sure that you get a good seed starting soil, the soil that you start your seed in does not need any nutrients in it. The seed will have everything that it needs to grow a plant inside the seed. It's just like a chicken egg. The chicken egg, under the right conditions with the right humidity and the right heat, will produce a chicken. When it's born, it needs water and it needs food. So the same thing with a seed plant. When you take the seed, you can put it in a Dixie cup and knock a couple of holes in it. You can put it in a crepe egg carton and fill it with seed starting soil. But the ideal situation to starting seed, tomato seed is about 75 to 80 degrees. Pepper seeds about 80 to 85 degrees. Is having humidity and heat. So if you'll take something as simple as an egg carton and fill it full of seed starting soil, and that soil has no nutrients in it, it's not sterilized, so there's no pathogens in it, and you put it in there and you wet it well. It's kind of like the sponge theory, that dry soil does not take up water very well. So you take that soil and you wet it well, not where it's making clods, but it's nice and damp. Fill up an egg carton, fill up Dixie cups, fill up plastic cups. You can grow them in your coffee cups if you want. And then once you get the soil in there, you put one seed in each container, and then you cover it with plastic. Before that, I became sophisticated and had greenhouses and growth chambers and all of that. What I did is I took my trays that I planted my seed in, and I put them in a plastic bag, and I closed the plastic bag on them. And one of the ideal places to germinate seed is on top of a refrigerator. if your refrigerator will have just about 75 to 80 degrees on top of it, because the heat, the coils on the back will put off. And in about 3 to 5 days, you're going to have a little plant that pops up. Now that plant will have every nutrient it needs to put on its first colloidal leaves. And once those leaves are grown, then you need to transplant it into a larger container and start feeding it and watering it regular. But if you do it right, if you wet the soil good and you put it in a plastic covered container and you put it in an environment that has a good temperature control, about 80 degrees, that's all you need to do. And when you pull it out, you're going to have these little plants 3 to 5 days later, and then you start growing your plants.
Well, now, when you talk about the soil to actually start it, are you talking about what they call potting soil?
It's a step down from that, Dr. Stan. It's germination soil.
It's germination soil.
Yeah, seed-starting soil. And what it is, basically what they do on seed-starting soil is that it's inert, and most of it's not actually in soil. It's things like peat moss and small particulates of perlite and things like that that is a womb for a seed. And so it's really not even a soil, but it's sterilized where there's no pathogens in it, and it's designed to hold moisture. That soil is the purpose that it has is to hold moisture around the seed. And so you want a good germination. It'll grow in any soil, but the success rate will be less. That just for the fun of it this year, I took soil out of my garden, and I planted tomato seeds in it. And we had about a 70% success rate with just soil out of the garden. But it was hard on the plant. It's hard for them to grow where they don't have the high volume of water. And so it's worthwhile to buy a bag of seed starting soil. And once again, it's surely not even any soil. It's peat moss and perlite and other things. And you fill whatever you're going to grow your seeds in with that material. And when that plant gets to be about 2 inches tall, the tomato plant or the pepper plant, it's going to have its colloidal leaves. It's going to have those first leaves. And then in the middle of that, after about a week and a half, you're going to see the first set of true leaves coming out of the middle of it. Those true leaves is the sign that you need to transplant and feed that plant in soil. That's when you transplant it into your potting soil or whatever you're going to plant it into as far as growing your soil. We make our own soil that we transplant in, and we use a sandy loam 50%, we use a compost 50%, and we use a perlite of 50%, so 150% is a third, of perlite, compost, and sandy loam. And we transplant our plants into that. And that sandy loam and the compost has ingredients in it, obviously, that's going to feed the plant, but we start feeding it then the tea from the worm castings. So right now, we've got, like I said, 4,500 of them that we'll be transplanting in the near future. And the next round of 4,500 we'll be transplanting, and we'll move them from the seed germination soil into the potting soil that we'll actually grow the plants in.
Well, now, would we benefit at all by getting some worms and putting them into our planting boxes?
Yeah, that worms are a wonderful thing to put in your garden. They'll naturally occur. If you compost, the worms are drawn to the compost, and they'll come on their own. And when you put that compost in the garden, you're going to put them in to your garden. It won't have the same effect as making a worm casting tea. It's like a vitamin B12 shot for a human. That it gives it an instantaneous shot of nutrients, and that's the reason why I use the nursery. I don't use the tea in the garden. I use dry fertilizer or Uncle Buck's fertilizer. But as I'm growing my plants, I want them not to have to work to eat. It's almost like having baby food for the plant, that it allows them to grow quicker and faster without the much effort to digest the food. So in the greenhouse, from the time that we transplant them from the plug trays, from the germination soil into the potting soil, at that point on until they go in the garden, that I use worm casting tea with molasses in it.
Well, how often do you use that?
Every time I water, I use the worm casting and the molasses.
Okay.
And you don't have to use it often. I do. It just makes a better plant. And it's not that expensive to produce a good plant that way.
Okay. Well, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But, Buck, let's get your telephone number and your website one more time.
All righty. You'll find us at a toll-free number at 888-866-9132, 888-866-9132. or on the World Wide Web, you'll find us at seedcatalog.com. Seedcatalog.com. Also, if you go to Dr. Stan's site and click on Heirloom Seed, it'll take you to our store.
Okay, fine. And Sydney, this is the time, and of course, you can get from the small garden, the large garden, the storage of seeds. You get the worm castings, you get the fertilizer, and we're sort of getting laying in all of these things, and it's going to be interesting to see how our garden goes this year. It was the first time we've already worked to get the soil in good shape, and anyway, the exciting time. We'll be back in just a moment. We got a great program the next hour. Well, Buck, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program for us.
Well, I'll start by saying one of the greatest things.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer Iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of the thousands of small farms which supply our every nutritional need. For generations, these dedicated men and women have supplied us with fresh food at reasonable cost. There is a chance that our food supply could be cut off in the event of a national emergency. You should carefully consider planting your own home garden. A seed bank from seedcatalog.com will make it almost easy. A seed bank contains every seed you'll need to plant a basic survival garden. All heirloom and all ready for you to create that special, necessary outdoor resource. Where can you find out more? Call 888-866-9132 or go to seedcatalog.com. Call 888-866-9132 right now and order seed for this year's garden. Seedcatalog.com.
It's got a big pot on it. It's got a good set of roots on it. And if you get the cheap ones, you know, with a bare root, why, you're going to have nothing but heartache in the future. Well, put out extra money, but get your good fruit trees. Begin getting things lined up and prepared. And Buck's just got a lot of good common sense. It's very interesting talking to him. Apparently, they're getting a lot of response from our listeners all across America. And if you want to get your things, just give them a call. You want to mention Radio Liberty, that you heard about them on Radio Liberty, because they do help us stay on the air. And you can get their address if you didn't get it, just by going to our website and look where it says on our homepage, Heirloom Seeds. Well, this is the time when I need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported. We're dependent upon our listeners who really believe in what we're doing to help us. I believe, of course, our ministry is a little different than many of the alternative radio programs. And, well, I'm sure that at least some of you think so. I got emails just this morning from South Australia and from South Africa, people listening on the Internet. I don't know how they found us, but they do and listen on a regular basis. So we encourage you to not only listen regularly, and of course if you go to our website, RadioLiberty.com, you can listen 24 hours a day to live or archive programs, because we do 4 hours of programs a day. And then of course we you can hear us on shortwave, you can hear us, if you have a telephone with unlimited minutes, listen to us, our afternoon program on Genesis, iPhone, iPod. You can listen 24 hours a day there. If you have a Ku-band satellite, you can hear us 9 hours a day. And of course, Joyce Riley's up there with us. But get the information out. Understand, ladies and gentlemen, the media is controlled. There's a wicked group of people who are using the financial and military power of the United States to bring about a one-world government in preparation for the coming of the Antichrist. And this is what it's all about. And nobody really wants to say it. There's a satanic movement out there. It's not imaginary. You need to read my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to hear our talks on the dark secret and the forbidden secret and get the syllabuses, go with them. We have a great new DVD. It's called Dangerous Deception. Dangerous Deception. It's basically an interview I did back in 1980 with Norman Dodd, who was the director of research for the Reese Committee, the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the Ford, Rockefeller, and Carnegie Foundations to find out why they were funding communism and socialism and trying to destroy the foundation of this country. Fascinating interview. And then, of course, you will I have to sit through me talking for about 45 minutes to an hour as we try to let you know what I've learned over the last 50 years. And, of course, as my ideas have changed, and I think we have a fairly good grasp of what's going on throughout the world. We've had the opportunity to talk to the leaders of countries, to meet the leaders, to shake hands with them, to sit down and talk to them, to ambassadors, to generals, and some of the most learned people that I've ever met. It's been a real exciting life, a real privilege, and I sometimes even wondered how we were able to get these people to be willing to talk to us. But we have an insight, an entirely different insight to what's going on, because we have the advantage of having friends like Dr. Dennis Cuddy, who I think is the outstanding researcher of modern times, is what's going on. So if you want to get the latest DVDs, one called Dangerous Deception, the other's on geoengineering, the talk that Rosalind Peterson gave, our telephone number is 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927, our webpage, RadioLiberty.com. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Only tonight is not quite so beautiful. It's stormy. It's foggy outside. It's like we're isolated from the rest of the world. It's really sort of an exciting time. It's really quite a storm we're going through, but we need it. And of course, God, in His wisdom, provides the water that we need and will be utilizing during the rest of the year. So a storm like this is good. Under any circumstances, this next hour we're going to have with us a William Grigg. And William, are you in Nevada?
Yes, I am, Dr. Stan. I'm en route to Southern California myself, as it turns out. I'm going to be speaking at the Freedom Law School Conference, which is taking place down in Irvine, California. I'll be there on Sunday to make a presentation.
All right, fine. Well, I think that they're very, very fortunate to have you, and give the people there my best. But what are we going to be talking about tonight?
I think we'll have to talk about the antithesis of liberty under law, which is the impunity of the ruling class. And because I've been on the road most of today, I haven't been able to get the details that have emerged about that incident that took place in Afghanistan about a week ago involving soldiers from Fort McChord, which is a very troubled military installation in Washington. There have been a number of incidents involving soldiers who were deployed out of that facility. And this individual, of course, is accused of a horrible atrocity, which is the undisguised murder of 16 civilian noncombatants, including a number of women and children. And he was on his fourth or fifth deployment in both Iraq and Afghanistan, and he stands now accused of capital murder and faces the prospect of life in prison or perhaps even the death penalty. And I thought that it's interesting to juxtapose that with the fact that during the last week and a half, we have heard the Attorney General of the United States, who, as I pointed out, moonlights as a arms dealer for the Mexican drug cartel, and the head of the FBI both say on the same day, March 7th, that the President of the United States has the discretionary power to murder American citizens. And the Attorney General of the United States, making his presentation at Northwestern Law School, in what has to be considered one of the most adolescent and unimpressive pseudo-scholarly effort ever made by a position of such a rank, by somebody who holds such a position, a person of such rank. He didn't provide footnotes, he didn't provide citations, he didn't take questions in spite of the fact that he had promised to do so. He was defending the summary execution of, among other people, a 16-year-old American citizen, the son of Anwar al-Awlaki, Abdulrahman al-Awlaki, was born in New Mexico, and he was murdered along with, if I remember correctly, another American. At a barbecue, as they were having dinner outside a home that the young Al-Awlaki was visiting. But this, of course, is part of this open-ended campaign of remote-controlled drone warfare, where we have these robot aircraft firing hellfire missiles at wedding parties and at funerals, and also on many occasions, it's been documented by a number of British researchers, you've had drone strikes conducted in rapid succession, in such a way that missile strikes have been made when rescuers have shown up to deal with the so-called collateral damage of the first drone strike. A drone strike will take place. It'll target somebody who's a suspected militant. A number of innocent bystanders will be caught in the blast radius. And so everybody converges on the site of the explosion. And within a few minutes, the drone makes a return pass and wipes out the people who've shown up to help those who suffered from the first drone strike. That's, of course, a crime by any measure, but the person ordering those drone strikes, the President of the United States, isn't going to stand trial. He's not going to face anything like the dismal future which awaits this soldier who killed 16 men, 16 innocent people, rather, 16 noncombatants in Afghanistan.
Yes, but there's no way to justify killing a 16-year-old boy just because his father is a criminal.
Exactly.
That, of course, is totally unconscionable. And what it means is we're going to kill you, we're going to kill everyone in your family. That's, of course, the offer that they made to the fellow who killed Lee Harvey Oswald. Go right ahead.
You're exactly right, Dr. Stan. What you're dealing with here is a situation in which the President of the United States claims the authority, or actually a better way of putting it is he claims the power, because this isn't authority. This isn't delegated and limited power. The this is a power that supposedly inheres in the president by virtue of being the president. It's something which transcends the medieval absolutism of kings. You had Louis XIV of France, the vaunted Sun King, who considered himself the primary around which the entire political universe revolved. Let's say on one occasion, l'état c'est moi, he said, I am the state. And his successor, Louis XVI, who was actually a much more moderate ruler than Louis XIV, on one occasion said, it's legal because I will it. And what Mr. Obama is saying, and what his underlings are saying on his behalf, is that the power of the president is not subject to checks or limitations, a congressional control, or the limitations in the Constitution. He is the living Constitution. And so you have this horrible episode in Afghanistan, I think, being sort of the portrait of Dorian Gray, if you will, of the doctrine of impunity, of official impunity, that the Obama administration has developed, actually building on the entirely regrettable example of its immediate predecessor, the Bush administration. These are not doctrines or policies or procedures or claims that originated with Barack Obama and Eric Holder. They're building on the work which is done by Dick Cheney and John Yoo and David Eddington and a number of other people who are involved in creating this open-ended doctrine of presidential war powers, refining actually the doctrine of presidential war powers, extra-constitutional war powers that has been sort of inchoate since the beginning of the so-called post-war era. Every president since Truman has claimed extravagant and constitutionally impermissible powers. But you have a soldier who killed 16 people, 16 innocent people in a fit of psychotic fury that probably had something to do with the op tempo that he was being required to maintain. Multiple deployments in wars where we have no business being. And he might very well end up spending the rest of his days in prison. And those days might be shortened by the death penalty. But the President of the United States can order wedding parties and picnics to be wiped out, murder American citizens by decree. And we're supposed to believe that somehow this is entirely appropriate because of the identity of the person who's doing it. And that's exactly the opposite of the essence of small-r republicanism. The idea
hold that thought. Hold that thought. We'll be right back. Mail Sydney, William Griggs talking about this tragedy occurred in Afghanistan where this American soldier shot 14 to 16 people. But it brought to mind, Sydney, this discussion. Oh, what did Chuck Giancano, the brother of Sam Giancano, Sam Giancano was the head of the mafia, and of course he was intimately involved with the murder of John Fitzgerald Kennedy. And of course, and you remember what happened was, because they got Lee Harvey Oswald, they captured him, they took him to the Parkland police station, and as they're taking him out to move him to another facility, in comes a fellow named Jack Ruby, and Jack Ruby, as the police, shoots Lee Harvey Oswald. Now, you have to ask yourself, why would a second-rate criminal like Jack Ruby walk into the Parkland Hospital and carry out a crime? He knew he was going to get caught. There was no way he could get away. There was no exit. There was no escape car. There was no getaway car. He was going to get caught. Why would he do that? Well, Chuck Giancano, the brother of Sam Giancano, in a book that you can get, we actually used to carry the book, but basically, he explained what had happened. They gave simply Jack Ruby an offer that he couldn't refuse. And it was basically, you will either do as you are told, or we will kill you, and we will kill your entire family. We will torture you to death and your entire family. The book, of course, was called Double Cross by Chuck Giancano. You can get it from Amazon. And it's very, very similar to the story that Malachi Martin told me, when Pope John Paul the First died after 31 days in office. It was a very, very short papacy. Everyone thought that he was murdered. He was poisoned. And so they had the the cardinals together, and they elected this man. He was to become the new pope, and he was certainly going up to the podium where he was going to accept the papacy, and somebody had him a note. Now, you would actually hear the story. We have it on tape, in a four-tape set called The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. And the note simply said to this cardinal, if you accept the papacy, you and every member of your family will be killed. Well, that's not simply a very enticing idea. So like the message that Jack Ruby got, and this gentleman went up to the podium and said, I turned down the papacy. You've never heard this story before, of course, but you'll actually hear, if you get the four tape set, or four CD set, of The Wisdom of Malachi Martin. Well, of course, we're certainly carrying out something very similar, only it's not simply a threat. The President of the United States has decreed that if you commit a crime against America, we'll not only kill you, we'll kill your family members, we'll kill your son, an innocent 16-year-old boy. But what really bothers me, William, where is the outcry from our religious leaders? Where is the outcry from our senators, from our congressmen? Where is the outcry, certainly, from our political candidates about this sort of thing?
Well, there is one presidential candidate who's been voluble in his opposition, that's Dr. Ron Paul, and the others on the Republican side of this equation may be scandalized that Barack Obama has arrogated that power to himself. But once again, they're focusing on the identity of the individual rather than on the claim that that individual can exercise that power. The problem is the power that's claimed here and the function that's being carried out. And that goes back to, I believe it was Montesquieu, who was the French political theorist who talked about the necessity of having checks and balances on power. I believe it was in his essay on the spirit of the laws that he pointed out that during the imperial decline of Rome, during the first century of the Christian era, after Julius Caesar, after Augustus Caesar, you had this steady procession of people who called themselves Caesars, and each one was more corrupt than the last. Each one arrogated and expanded powers, arrogated to himself powers that weren't his under the 12 tablets of the law, which was their equivalent of the Constitution, and expanded those powers to suit his whims, and then they started making more remarkable and ludicrous claims of divinity. And what Montesquieu pointed out is that one of the things that aided this process was the fact that people were fixated on the personality of the prince rather than on what the prince was doing, focusing on his personality and his particular set of quirks and his particular collection of favorites at court rather than focusing on what the prince was doing in terms of policy. And because they were focusing on the person of the prince, and I'm paraphrasing by memory as close as I can, every day, he said, the Romans more firmly riveted their chains. And that's what's been going on in this dialectic between the two branches of the establishment party since no later than the Woodrow Wilson administration, when you've had people focused on personalities and focused on questions of tribal partisan advantage. And we could be played very easily that way. I'll give you a really good example of how this works. My family and I spend time visiting people, and one of the people we visit has a penchant for watching MSNBC. Many of our family members, many of our close friends and family members watch Fox News. MSNBC is a Democratic Party organ that promotes the cult of the presidency under Barack Obama. Fox News, of course, promoted the cult of the presidency under George W. Bush. The folks who run MSNBC believe that we have to be unified behind the dear leader and that it's somehow scandalous and unpatriotic if we question his wisdom and his insight and policies. Fox News did the same thing with George W. Bush. If we end up with a Republican in the White House next year, then you'll see a polarity shift. And the friends we visit who watch MSNBC will be receiving a steady diet of vituperation directed at the current occupant of the White House and the fools who support him and the people of Fox News will be receiving exactly the contrary message, extolling the merits of the dear leader and lambasting those who undermine national unity by daring to run down our dear leader and commander-in-chief. They're promoting the same message. They're promoting the message of executive supremacy, and of course, they're retailing cult think with respect to the need, supposed need, for unity behind the individual who's the figurehead of the ruling oligarchy. They both promote some version of the imperial state, and they promote the same set of messages with respect to cultural hot-button issues. The Fox News will talk about the dire consequences of the revolutionary left, how they're waging a culture war and everything we hold dear. MSNBC will talk about the dire consequences posed by the radical religious right and how they're waging a cultural war against minorities, against women's rights, and so forth. They're playing to the same kinds of constituencies. They're playing the same themes, just pitched in different keys. And the whole purpose, of course, is to get people thinking in terms of these tidy tribal categories that can be manipulated by people who are catalyzing a total state in which none of us have any security for our individual rights and property. Because whoever it is who occupies the Oval Office, if he inherits these powers, he or she inherits these powers and exercises them in the way to which we become accustomed, then it really doesn't matter which side of this very narrow divide he or she comes from, or which collection of constituencies he or she favors and which collection of constituencies he or she is opposed to. The point is that you're consolidating power in the person of the executive, dictatorial power in a short-term elected dictatorship, if you will. And that's a really good example of what Montesquieu was talking about from Rome. And it's an old trick. This is something that Shakespeare talked about when he was using his historical cycle to talk about the Wars of the Roses, and people who were waging power and invoking these pseudo-populist themes in order to transfix the masses and radicalize them and mobilize them on behalf of a putsch, of an effort to seize power. In this case, of course, we're not talking about a putsch or a coup. We're talking about a long-term consolidation of these dreadful powers in which our liberties and our very physical existence are imperiled at every turn.
But, you know, basically what they do is they appeal to patriotism. After all, this gentleman that they, Al-Awlaki, I think was his name, but he was an enemy of America. He was involved in terrorist activities. Now, none of this is ever proven, but it's been alleged. And because he was an enemy of America, we can justify that. And because he was an enemy of America, somehow perhaps his family was may have been anti-American as well.
Mm-hmm.
We see instance after instance of atrocities carried out by American soldiers. Certainly, when we first took Iraq, there were several instances where Iraqi either military officers or citizens were arrested by the Americans and tortured to death. And yet, of course, we justified that because the Iraqis were our enemies, and they were just trying to get information to protect our military. Of course, we had already won the war. You didn't really have to, torture the Iraqi generals to death. One of the Americans was actually tried for manslaughter or something, and when he was exonerated, because he said, "I didn't really mean to kill him," he died of a heart attack after we tortured him for a couple of days. And when he was exonerated, why, the audience broke into cheers.
Yeah.
We saw recently, of course, there was some fellow sergeant who went house to house, had his squad. I think they killed 23 women and children. And he was tried, and I think they demoted him from sergeant to corporal, and he would lose $500 or something. A slap on the wrist for something as horrible as that. And there's always the tendency to sort of justify it. We're in a war. I mean, people do bad things in wartime, and as long as it's against the enemy, they've actually taken this man who killed 14 to 16 women and children, they moved him out of Afghanistan. And we're incensed that the Afghans are not grateful to us, and they want us to pull our troops out of the villages. How insensitive they are. Don't they know that we're there to protect them? Or maybe they're wondering why our troops are there at all when there are only 50 members of Al-Qaeda and we have a half million people there. We'll be right back. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah,
gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Whether you want more energy to keep up with everyday life or simply the great feeling that comes from better health, you won't get there without serious, proven nutritional support. I'd like to suggest that you try Propax NT. Propax contains a powerful group of nutrients called the NT factor, specifically designed and clinically validated to enhance cellular energy. Clinical trials have demonstrated that Propax improved participants' energy levels. They felt better, too. Why don't you go to the website for complete information? It's simply propax.com. That's P-R-O-P-A-X.com. Or you can call 800-982-9158. Propax.com or 800-982-9158. Find out about Propax today.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances? Even things which can cause sickness or disease. If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
We've established a new state over there. Why don't we just pull our troops out? Well, we pulled all of our troops out. Well, because we got the maybe 50th, 100,000 contractors over there, and we've got a lot of non-combat troops over there. You know what a non-combat troop is? Why, he's a guy with a gun and hand grenades, but he's not supposed to use them. But of course, we have our troops in Iraq. We have our troops in Afghanistan. In Afghanistan, as we pointed out, we have not only 90,000 American troops, we have 46,000 NATO troops, we have certainly 100,000 contractors, 100,000 contractors. Many of those are ex-military over there, and they're well-trained in warfare. And then we've got 350,000 Afghan troops and the 50 members of Al-Qaeda. And everybody knows we have to stay there. We keep our troops there to defend the freedom of the people of Afghanistan. I mean, it's just so ridiculous, ladies and gentlemen. Please go right ahead with you. Oh, I just wanted to say one thing, and that is that the founding fathers of America did not want America to have a standing army. Why did they want a standing army? Because they knew that at one time it would be used so America could dominate the world. Basically, this has always been the plan. Our founding fathers knew that armies always tend to grow, and armies will be misused. They didn't want America to dominate the world. They didn't want America to bring democracy to the world. They didn't want America to be involved in other people's problems. They wanted to limit the power of government and government expenditures so Americans could be free. But there was another group this very small little occult group we talk about, the Brotherhood of Darkness, who certainly were poorly recognized early during the course of our country, but now they're in total control of both political parties and our banking and corporate system. They're using America's military to bring about a one-world government, a one-world financial system, a one-world religion, because they hate Christianity, and install the one-world ruler. Go right ahead, Woody.
There was that strain, unfortunately, even in America's founding, but the predominant voice was one that urged the United States in Congress assembled. Remember, it was supposed to be a confederated, decentralized republic to eschew any of the trappings of absolutism or any of the trappings of what we would now call militarism. And James Madison, I once again advert to this constantly, I make reference to his warning about the nature of war, how it was the greatest of all enemies of public liberty, because war is the parent of armies, and armies beget debts and taxes, and armies and debts and taxes are the known instruments for bringing the many under the subjection of the few. And military establishments create business for themselves. And the other thing that they do, of course, is they turn their attention inward rather than outward, and projection of power overseas always requires regimentation at home. That was one of the insights that Edmund Burke shared during the American War for Independence. He warned that the imperial suppression of the claims of the English colonists in America threatened the rights of Englishmen everywhere. And one of the things that we have to understand is that these military establishments that we're seeing conducting nighttime raids and drone strikes in Afghanistan and Iraq and maintaining these vast armies of mercenary contractors, that military establishment is a training exercise, a training program, a finishing school for the people who are going to be doing the same things here in the United States. People who are involved in law enforcement at every level, whether you're talking about state or local, county, and the federal agencies, of course, they give priority for recruitment for people who have been involved in overseas military operations, particularly people who've got special forces background and training. So you see Afghanistan as a setting now for the training of future SWAT operators who'll be carrying out midnight or dawn raids here in the United States for the purposes of counter-narcotics enforcement, or for all I know, a collection of child support or providing support for the Department of Children and Family Services in a given jurisdiction. SWAT teams have proliferated, and they're being used promiscuously for purposes that have nothing to do with the original stated design back in 1968. And all this reflects the fact that you cannot have an empire abroad and be a republic at home. We're becoming a garrison state here precisely because America has ignored the warnings of our founders and, of course, the best impulses of our heritage of liberty protected by law.
Our guest this evening is William Grigg, and we're discussing, of course, the tragedy that's unfolding today. As certainly our local police are being militarized, they're certainly going to be deploying thousands of drones over America. They can be used over in Afghanistan to kill the children. Why not here?
Let us swear allegiance to a land that's free. Let us all be grateful for a land so fair.
Well, William, you go right ahead.
Here's a really good example of what we're talking about. This is an item from a couple of days ago out of the Oregonian newspaper. The headline is, "Man shot by Washington County tactical officers was armed, thought intruder was on his property," family said. The man shot by Washington County tactical officers in New Columbia Tuesday night had grabbed a gun because he thought intruders were on his property after his wife had checked on their barking dog in the backyard and saw a stranger in dark clothing. Alberto Flores Aro, according to relatives and witnesses, did not know the men surrounding his home and neighborhood Tuesday night were authorities approaching to raid a residence just a few doors down from his home in the 9500 block of North Wolseley Avenue. "There was someone in our backyard. My mom called our stepdad," said Daniel Ibarra. "He told me to go upstairs and get the gun." what happened is that you had a tactical squad composed of SWAT team elements from several jurisdictions converge in this neighborhood in Portland in order to arrest a couple of people who were suspected of a drive-by shooting. That's a horrible crime of violence. But 25, 30 years ago, it wouldn't have been the case that you would have sent a military contingent in a tank. There was a tank involved in this operation in order to arrest a couple of teenage punks, no matter how serious you took the alleged crime they were involved in. But they're using military tactics that involve sending men clad in dark clothing at night, armed with automatic weapons, arrayed in military fashion, backed by armor, to do routine, or in this case, something other than routine, but not all that exceptional law enforcement missions. This is the mindset of empire translated into the domestic circumstances of law enforcement, and it's very, very typical of what's going on elsewhere in this country. All this man knew was that there was a black-clad stranger with a heavy weapon in his backyard, so he went and got a gun, and he ended up getting shot, and the last I heard, he survived his injuries, although they were very serious. But this is the sort of thing that results from misperception on account of the militarization of law enforcement. And this is by no means an isolated case once again, and it's an augury of really bad times to come because every jurisdiction in this country is being militarized and being retrofitted with this attitude in which the police look upon the people who surround them as potential enemy combatants rather than fellow citizens. It's exactly what our founding fathers warned against when they urged us and they embedded in the Constitution.
Hold that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly William is talking about this whole idea of militarization of our police. Why do we have to have SWAT teams simply to arrest people? And we see this on television all the time. And, of course, you know, they're going to simply serve a warrant. And what do they have? They got 25 people there with the military helmets, certainly with the armored vests, with their automatic weapons. And they're there to serve a warrant. And they don't knock on the door. They break the door down, rush in with their weapons out there. They don't even bother to shout, "We're from the police." And they just start shooting if somebody is concerned enough to thinking that they are under attack in their own home. But they show this over and over again, certainly on television. So we will accept this as normal operating procedure. Well, it certainly is normal operating procedure in a fascist society, but not in America. But you have to understand that the media is being used to condition us that this is standard police procedure. It has become standard police procedure in what used to be the United States of America. Go right ahead, William.
Yeah, this is the redefinition of normal. There's an expression that I believe originated with the late Daniel Patrick Moynihan, not one of my favorite public figures and certainly not somebody whose career I find commendable, but he coined the expression defining deviancy down. It's just a really interesting ratcheting effect where you lower expectations for what is normal by taking the basement of your expectations and starting to dig. In other words, what was considered deviant 50 years ago is now considered to be conservative. That's defining deviancy down. That's another dialectical process. Well, we're seeing something similar to that happen with respect to domestic law enforcement, beginning with the fact that we call it law enforcement. It's not really a term of a very long pedigree in the American civic conversation. It used to be two generations ago, we referred to police as peace officers. They're still referred to peace officers in the literature. When a trainee or recruit goes to be taught and prepared and trained and qualified as a cop, as a police officer, or a sheriff, or deputy sheriff, he goes to a peace officer's standards and training school or post academy. And of course, it stands for peace officers. The two letters at the beginning of that acronym stand for peace officers. And a peace officer is somebody whose purpose it is to preserve the peace, not to regiment, not to dominate, not to make people submit. His role was to protect the persons and property of the law-abiding. And the mission described in the 13th chapter of the Book of Romans, the idea that the sword exists to be a terror to the evildoers and to protect the innocent against the violence of the lawless. That's a defensive mission. However, as one sociologist has said about police in the modern conception, they are to the state as the edges to the knife. That's a different proposition. It's more like the idea of the sword as an implement meant to overawe those who present some kind of a problem for the powers that be, or the sword as an implement of summary punishment and terror. You know, it's no longer a case where the sword is used as a defense to protect the law-abiding and to be a terror to the evildoer. The idea now is that we're all evildoers. And of course, we are in the sense of needing to be redeemed through God's grace, but we're all evildoers in the sense that we're all to be considered criminals on account of the fact that we can't live up to the state's expectation of us. That's a complete inversion and perversion of the system that our founding fathers intended to prevail here in America. It reminds me of a conversation I've had, and I've described, no doubt, with a fellow by the name of Gene Stevens. He's a former instructor at the FLETEC. I believe it's pronounced FLETEC, the Federal Law Enforcement Training Center. If I remember correctly, I think it's in Georgia. But this guy trained several generations of police officers, as well as armed enforcement officers for various federal bureaucracies. Way back in 1995, I called him up and interviewed him. I'd read a couple of pieces that he'd written in the Futurist magazine, and one of them talked about the idea that the government needed to have a system of licensing parents. Okay, now why would the government, first of all, claim the authority to license parents as if government were in charge of regimenting even the intimate lives and the family decisions made by the subjects of this country? That's, of course, something that goes on in communist China. Why would it claim that authority, and what would be the social utility of this? So I called him up after reading his essay. He was one of several people to make this abhorrent suggestion. Jack Westman wrote a book called Licensing Parents. And then there was a fellow by the name of David Lycan, who was a sociologist from Minnesota, who made the same suggestion. You can go back in the literature and see people attached to various eugenicist groups making the same suggestion. I believe way back in the 1960s, you had the Jaffe memorandum that Planned Parenthood put out that talked about licensing parents. But this is a theme that has been woven into a lot of social commentary. It's just remarkable to see somebody who's teaching and training federal law enforcement and local law enforcement retailing that idea. I said, well, what would be the value here? First of all, where does the authority come from? And secondly, what would be the purpose of licensing parents? As to the first question, I didn't get a satisfactory answer, because Mr. Stevens is one of those people who believe that the government has more or less plenary power over all of us, with certain limited exceptions that are irrevocable. In other words, the default setting is that the government has the authority, and there are exceptions made temporarily to grant us some limited license. That's how he approaches things. But with respect to what he saw as the supposed value of this arrangement, he said, we have to realize that we're all criminals. We're all criminals because we don't like being told what to do by the government. In other words, if we believe ourselves to be somehow independent and in control of our own lives, you know, if we believe in the principle of self-ownership, as libertarians describe it, or what's largely a cognate principle, which is the idea that our Creator owns us but has given us exclusive lease and control over our lives, then we're criminals because we don't recognize the principle of government supremacy. And to the extent that our belief in our own freedom and our own unalienable rights conflicts with the claims of the government to have comprehensive control over us, we derogate from the magnificence of the government, and that's a criminal impulse. And in order to uproot that impulse, according to Stevens, he's hardly the first to make this suggestion, of course. You can go back and read about this in Plato's Republic, for heaven's sake. The government had to take direct control over children, not merely from infancy, but from before the point of conception. Government had to scrutinize the background and examine at a genetic level even parents before the government would deign to grant them a license to have children, and it would regiment and ration the childbearing process. In other words, if you were only going to have one child, or rather, if you wanted to have children, the government might say you only get to have one child, whereas somebody else who is considered to be more suitable in terms of attitude and physical and genetic allotments might be permitted to have two. But that's something that this individual was promoting, and he was teaching law enforcement officers, teaching administrators, teaching the people who teach law enforcement. And whether you have people who actually believe such horrible things, who are now patrol officers or SWAT team operators and so forth, isn't important. What's really important is that there is a very heavy residue left by that kind of indoctrination. And the residue is an attitude, a disposition to look upon us as criminals, to look upon those of us who are part of society at large, as if we're in need of chastening and instruction and the tutelage by people who are wearing body armor and carrying firearms and invested with the supposed authority to use painful coercion by way of pain compliance or even lethal force when necessary to protect himself or to make people submit. And that brings us to the nub of one critical difference between peace officers and law enforcers. A peace officer understood that his responsibility in exigent circumstances was to protect the innocent, but he never had permission to inflict summary punishment. If he was going to be involved in any way in the process of punishing a criminal, his job was to apprehend the suspect and then to provide the evidence to prosecutors to submit to a jury in order for a jury to find that suspect guilty of a crime. But he wasn't there to inflict summary punishment. This has been completely abandoned. It's really obvious to anybody who spends any time immersed in any of the available evidence that one of the reasons why we have so many this antic parade of episodes of police abuse, because police have been taught that their role is to punish people rather than to apprehend criminal suspects and, when necessary, to intervene on behalf of people who are threatened by criminal violence. And that's completely incompatible with the idea of being peace officers. Instead of acting to protect rights, unfortunately, people of that disposition believe they're in the position to chase and to punish and to impose summary street justice on people they consider to be displaying an attitude incompatible with their station.
I don't know if you saw that article, William, but apparently somewhere up in your neck of the woods, there was a reporter who had been critical of some decision made by the police. And so the chief of police told one of his officers to go to this man's house at 1 o'clock in the morning and to talk him into being more reasonable and not to be critical of the police.
Yeah.
At 1 o'clock in the morning, and knock at your door from somebody from the police department. Well, of course, when this came out, this fellow was a reporter. He put this in the paper. And the excuse was, well, I was tired, and the chief of police told me to go. And suddenly, maybe I wasn't as polite as I should have been. No, ladies and gentlemen, the whole idea of coming at nighttime is to intimidate. They know exactly what they're doing, and the fact that this is going on in America, and there should be a demand that both the police officer and his chief of police should be immediately fired. And of course, they're going to take this up with the city manager, and they're going to discuss it, and they'll try to do everything they can to bury it. But ladies and gentlemen, they knocks on the door are going to come with increasing frequency here in America because we're moving from freedom to fascism. This was a chilling, chilling example of where America is headed when the chief of police orders a police officer to visit a reporter at 1 o'clock in the morning. Go right ahead.
Yeah, that was the chief of police in Berkeley, California, of all the ironic locations for that type of thing to happen. And he was upset because the reporter in question had covered a town hall meeting that was called to examine the just incomprehensible lapse in judgment or the incredible misaligned priorities of the Berkeley Police Department in refusing to respond to a request for help from an elderly man who had an intruder in his home. they were spending most of their time monitoring an Occupy protest, and they couldn't task a couple of officers to go and deal with this intruder situation that ended up with the 69-year-old man being murdered by the intruder. So he was blasé and largely indifferent to this call that the department was, that resulted in actual homicide. But when his reputation was injured by a reporter's take on the comments that were made in the meeting call to deal with that earlier lapse in judgment, that became a matter of the highest priority. And so he dispatched somebody to the reporter's house at 1 a.m. to demand a retraction. That's not the first time I've heard of something like that happening, but it's, as you say, Dr. Stan, a symptom of a malady, of sickness that is spreading, that's rapidly metastasizing in this country. I remember that Sheriff Joe Arpaio in Arizona, Maricopa County, Arizona, had the editor and publisher of an independent journal called The New Times arrested at 10 o'clock or 10:30 in the evening and taken to jail because they had published publicly available information about Joe Arpaio's investment in an edition of their newspaper. And Sheriff Arpaio claimed that this constituted a threat to officer safety, that it was supposedly against the law in Arizona to publish this information, in spite of the fact that it was readily available to anybody with a high-speed internet hookup and a minimal facility with Google. And this was done as a high-acted act of intimidation. And then he ended up, Sheriff Arpaio, ended up subpoenaing from that newspaper a list of everybody who had read that article online. They wanted to get the internet provider information on the tens or hundreds of thousands of people who had logged on to read that article. And this was done, once again, as an act of blatant, brutal, and high-handed intimidation. But this is the sort of thing that happens when you're trained to look upon the public at large as enemy combatants, as rivals, rather than part of the public you should be serving.
Well, William, before we go on, they were getting to the end of the program. I want you to get out certain information on how people can get to the magazine that you are certainly the managing editor of, that Republic magazine. How people can get to your website, how people can get to your PayPal button.
Dr. Stan, I appreciate that. I am working with Republic Magazine. That's republicmagazine.com. Web address, republicmagazine.com. People who log in should look at the upper right-hand corner of the opening page of the website, and they can enter their email address and name and receive a digital subscription for free. And it's updated pretty much every day. There's fresh content in terms of news articles and also video links every day at republicmagazine.com. I also write the Pro Libertate blog at freedominourtime.blogspot.com. freedominourtime.blogspot.com. As you mentioned, there's a PayPal button at the end of every essay, and I urgently need and deeply appreciate any help that people can send if they have access to PayPal. Once again, that's Pro Libertate, the blog, freedominourtime.blogspot.com. Very grateful to you, Dr. Stan, for all that you've done on my behalf, encouraging people to donate. And of course, I'm very, very grateful to all the people who taken an interest in my welfare, the welfare of my family, and been willing to help us out is something that's a real blessing to us. We deeply appreciate it.
Well, I think we have to look out after the people who are on the front lines of this battle, and William has been there for a good long while, having been at one time the senior editor of the New American Magazine, where I think he probably got at least a living wage. He's not getting that from Republic Magazine, although it is doing a good job, and we hope that it'll be successful. And But certainly we would feel it would be something well worthwhile doing, and we would appreciate if you would just indeed consider contributing to William Grigg. He's got 6 children and a family to support, and he is certainly one of the most articulate spokesmen we have for the conservative cause. He actually writes the Radio Liberty newsletter now, since I've had to pull back from that, does an excellent job. His material is accurate, and certainly we recommend it to you. So you can read his articles at RadioLiberty.com. You can read it on the Internet. You can read it from Republican Magazine. We're going to be back here in just a moment to wrap up tonight's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, William, we go right ahead. We've got 3 minutes for you to wrap up the program.
Well, Dr. Stan, once again, it's always a pleasure and a privilege.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
You may be new to freeze-dried foods. You may have storable food questions. You may want to buy your freeze-dried foods from a very reputable company and not go broke in the process. Welcome to the Freeze-Dry Guy. Okay, actually, we're more than just one guy. We're a California-based company that's been serving our U.S. military and other government agencies with the finest in freeze-dried storable foods and emergency rations since 1970. See all about us at freezedryguy.com. With Freeze-Dry Guy freeze-dried foods, you can and will be ready for just about any unexpected crisis. Freeze-dried guy foods are delicious, require little preparation, and will taste just as fresh decades from now as they do today. Just add hot water and serve. Backpackers consistently rate us number one year after year as the best tasting and ease of preparation. Isn't that what you want for your family? Visit freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-FOOD. That's 866-404-3663 or go to freezedryguy.com. Freeze-Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Sometimes when you're having an important spiritual conversation with a friend or loved one, time simply runs out. Now there's a place on the World Wide Web that will help you keep your friend's interest until you can meet again face to face. I'm talking about thestoryofjesus.com. Yes, that's right, thestoryofjesus.com. It's a wonderful new website that does exactly what you think it should. It tells the story of Jesus Christ. You'll find there a completely harmonized version of the four gospel accounts. It's available for you to browse through on your computer, download in print for a permanent reference, and you can even listen to the story on your computer or download files, which will work on your portable digital player. Tell your friends. Use it yourself. That's thestoryofjesus.com. Simple as that. Thestoryofjesus.com. For many decades, these great United States have had security and plenty because of...
Name them. We give you a lot of their names, but behind them are powerful spiritual forces. Now, let me suggest a new DVD. We've just put it out. It's called The Dangerous Deception. The Dangerous Deception, of course, it's an interview I did with Norman Dodd in 1980. Norman Dodd was the director of research for the only congressional committee ever allowed to investigate the Ford, Carnegie, and Rockefeller foundations. And what did he find? Why, he found out that the Carnegie Foundation was actively working on figuring out how to bring about world peace, and they were going to bring about world peace by having a series of wars. They spent the years 1908 to 1910 figuring out how we were going to have a series of wars, and this is just what we've had. We're going to war with Iran very, very soon, ladies and gentlemen, but this is not going to be a simple little war. It's going to affect everyone in the listening audience. And then, of course, they found out the Rockefeller Foundation was financing socialism, and the Ford Foundation was working, supporting communism. Fascinating interview. It's called The Dangerous Deception. Available by calling 1-800-544-8927. It's new. You could hear the text of my interview with Norman Dodd. But now you can actually watch the interview that we did in 1980 with Norman Dodd. And then, of course, you're going to have to listen to me talk for about 45 minutes. As I bring you up to date on what's really going on, we have another wonderful new DVD, and it's certainly Roslyn Peterson on geoengineering. And, of course, geoengineering is being used to poison the air, to poison the water, to poison the food, to poison the trees, to poisoning the whales and other aquatic life. And the fact that you're not hearing this, or anybody who talks about this, is considered a kook or a nut, it simply reflects the degree of control that exists today over what the American people think. So we recommend Roslyn Peterson, Geoengineering, Norman Dodd interview. It's called The Dangerous Deception. They're both available by calling 1-800-544-8927. If you'd like to know what the Illuminati was, we have four CD sets by Dr. Dennis Cuddy. They're you get Illuminati Part 1 or the Illuminati Part 2, or get them both together at reduced cost. What is the Illuminati? It was a secret society, but of course it was the modern-day manifestation. By modern-day, I'm talking about the 1700s of the secret societies of antiquity that were intent upon bringing about a world government. This idea goes all the way back to Nimrod, and certainly that's what the Illuminati was, that's what Masonry is, that's what the Rosicrucians are, that's what the Council on Foreign Relations, the Bilderbergers, and the Trilateral Commission, the Club of Rome, the Royal Institute for International Affairs. And you need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, that they're taking us from war to war. They're in the process of destroying our economy, of impoverishing our people. They're sending our men throughout the world to fight in no-win wars. We're keeping almost over 500,000 of people over there. A lot of them are Afghans under military training. But over 500,000 men with the American forces to fight 50 members of Al-Qaeda. That's all that's there. 50 members of Al-Qaeda, and we're financing over 500,000 men. If you don't believe it, go to your search engine and type in Leon Panetta, Afghanistan, 50 members of Al-Qaeda. Everything is illusion and delusion. That's, of course, one reason why, because the Israelis recently released 1,027 terrorists to get back one soldier. 1,027 terrorists to get back one soldier. Why this whole war on terrorism is as phony as a $3 bill? Please pray for Radio Liberty, our provision and our protection.
As we raise our voices in a solemn prayer, God bless America, land that I love, stand beside her and guide her through the night with.